Good morning. Please be seated. Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. We'll be serving tea and coffee afterwards, and I'm told there's a lot of mince pies. Couldn't think of the word. I don't have any notices really for you, apart from there's a Holy Communion service this evening at 7 o'clock, which Leslie's also doing. So I'll pass you over to Leslie and thank her very much for taking our service. And just to tell you, Leslie, there's a few more people coming in. There's a few more people just coming in.
Oh, well, in which case we'll...
So we're going to have a positive crowd.
We'll just go slowly for the first minute or two. So give them chance to get seated. I do have one notice, and I will give it now rather than in the course of the service. And that is that our offertory today, and I believe tomorrow morning as well, will be given to charity. So we will be giving to the Disasters Emergency Committee, the DEC, appeal for Gaza, I believe, and also for our own Hope Into Action project. So for the Christmas services, the offertory will be given to charity. Give you a chance to think about what and when you wish to give during that period. That's right, isn't it, Christine? Oh, good. Thank you. It's all right. All in God's good time.
Do we have any matches or a lighter, please? Can't. Am I being dim?
I can't see one. Christine, will you do the honours for us, please? I will light candles this Christmas. Candles of joy despite all the sadness. Candles of hope where despair keeps watch. Candles of courage where fear is ever present. Candles of peace for tempest-tossed days. Candles of grace to ease heavy burdens. Candles of love to inspire all of my living. Candles that will burn all year long. I thought that was an appropriate beginning to our service. It was written by someone called Howard Thurman, and I found it on Facebook. So Facebook isn't all bad. Let's worship the God of joy, of hope, the God of courage and peace, God of infinite and unbounded love. And we sing our first hymn, which is, excuse me, Tell Out My Soul.
Thank you.
Friends, will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, God with us this day and throughout our lives, we give you thanks for your world and all that is in it. We look forward to Christmas Day and hope to see joy reflected in the faces around us as we celebrate your season of life and reconciliation. We come to you waiting and watching for Christmas and for the time when you will come again. Open our hearts and minds. Lead us through the power of the Holy Spirit to know that we have truly met you as we worship this morning. As Mary wondered and praised you, so we too stand in awe of your mighty and vulnerable presence. We can't find words enough to use of your goodness, mercy, and grace. Praise be to you. With people around the world, we're looking forward to Christmas. We've waited and planned for the season, both sacred and secular. Our mince pies are made or bought. The cake is iced. The turkey is bought and the stuffing made. Our devotions are said, sung and played. And we are ready to greet you. Help us to be ready each day of our lives. We know we've not always done things your way. We've not tried to bring our thinking into line with yours. We're sorry. Forgive us all our wrongdoing and bring us closer to your generous and gracious ways. Amen. Scripture assures us that when we repent, God's grace and mercy are ours. Our sins are forgiven. We say together now the prayer that Jesus taught us to use when we pray. Our Father,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of 2 Samuel. Chapter 7, verses 1 to 11, and verse 16. Now, when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go. Do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. May God add his blessing to those words from Scripture. So that's a passage that we very rarely reflect on, I think. But it illustrates an important lesson. Not just for David, but for each of us. We may think we know God's will, but we can get it terribly wrong. Even when it seems obvious to us what God wants, like David, we have our own agenda. We're working to our own plans and timetable. We need, though, to avoid totally making assumptions about God and God's kingdom and focus on listening. A theme that we are going to explore through a rather long drama this morning. We're going to break it into two parts, so you haven't got to sit and pay attention for too long. God often does unexpected things. The drama is not of my writing, but is written by Judith Rossall in this really rather interesting book, Living the Story. So if Joseph would like to join us here.
I'd just like to point out, I didn't ask for any of this. Quite the contrary, in fact. I had my life sorted out just as I wanted it. I had a good home, family and friends close by, and a nice little business. I liked my life. I trusted God and was at peace with the universe. It seemed to me, in those long ago days, that now seems like they happened to someone else, and that all I really lacked was a family of my own. And I was quite sure that Mary was the partner I needed. So when she said,
"Joseph, can I have a word?"
How was I to know how much life was going to change? It just doesn't occur to you, does it?
I really need a word.
Of course, Mary, my love.
Joseph, you might want to sit down for this.
It's all right, Mary, you can't shock me. Overspent on the wedding plans, have you?
Not quite.
Want to invite a few more rallies?
It's not about the wedding.
What's your mother done now?
It's not about my mother, it's me. I'm pregnant.
I think I need to sit down.
Yes, Joseph.
Pregnant? How can you be pregnant? No, don't answer that. I know how you can be pregnant.
It's not what you think.
Exactly what I think. There's only one way for a woman to get pregnant.
Don't you be so sure.
I really hadn't asked for that, had I? You have no idea what it was like. Half my friends assumed I was the father and thought I was a fool for not being more careful when I was with my fiancée. The other half assumed I wasn't the father and thought I was a fool for not being more careful in my choice of fiancée. I didn't want to hurt Mary. But why should I get landed with a baby that wasn't mine? So I started to make plans to quietly cancel the wedding. You can understand, I'm sure, that I really wasn't ready for an angel to say,
Joseph, can I have a word?
I mean, this is not the sort of thing that happens to normal people, is it? One minute, there I was, comfortable in the land of Nod, and the next thing I know, I'm face to face with this vision. You should have seen these wings. They were...
Joseph, I really do need a word.
Of course,
Gabriel, Archangel Gabriel.
Very glad to meet you, Mr. Archangel, sir.
Joseph, you might want to sit down for this.
Oh, that's all right. There's nothing left that can shock me now.
You're to marry Mary.
I think I need to sit down.
Yes, Joseph.
You do know that she's,
She's,
You know, how does the King James Bible put it? Great with child?
I hear she's not bad with teenagers as well.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean she's pregnant.
Oh, yeah, we all know that.
And it's not mine.
And we know that too. You're still to marry her. The child is God's, and we want you to be the father.
Well, I really hadn't asked for that, had I? But you don't argue with angels, do you? So I recognised the wedding, reorganised the wedding, and began to look forward to a nice, quiet life with Mary and the baby. If only I had known.
We'll hear more, particularly from Joseph and others, after we've sung another hymn. The Angel Gabriel from Heaven Came. If you're able, please stand to sing.
It was a bit of a rush, organising the wedding so suddenly. I'm sure you'll understand that afterwards I was ready for a bit of space. Just me and Mary and time to get ready for the baby to come. I really wasn't ready for my mother-in-law to say, "Do you do expect to be left alone when you get married, don't you?"
Yeah, Joseph, I really do need a word.
Certainly, how can I help?
You might want to sit down for this.
Trust me, after what I've gone through in the last few months, nothing could shock me anymore.
There's going to be a census.
A what us?
A census. The Romans want to count everyone.
Oh, well, if it keeps them happy.
They want to count everyone in their hometown. We all have to go back to where our family came from in the next 2 months.
But my family's from Bethlehem. That's miles away.
Well, there's lots of people who have to travel further than that.
The baby's due at the end of next month. I wanted to be there for the birth.
I think we can guarantee you will be.
What do you mean?
We've checked the rules. Mary has to go with you.
But Mary doesn't come from Bethlehem.
What can I say? It's the first century. It's a very sexist time.
What stupid idiot thought this up?
I believe the stupid idiot's name is Caesar Augustus.
I think I need to sit down again.
I'll see you when you get back.
So, I made some new plans. What else could I do? 80 miles, and you know what public transport's like. I cannot tell you how difficult it was. And when we got there, we discovered someone had forgotten to book the room. So there I was with a new wife and a new baby, contemplating another 80-mile trip to get home. I really didn't need any more.
Joseph, can I have a word?
That depends. Will I have to sit down?
Probably.
Okay, so tell me, how are things going to get worse? There must be a way, though I can't see it. Got a new baby, I'm miles from home, and oh, by the way, who should I thank for the shepherds?
Me, I'm afraid.
I don't want to complain, Gabriel, but they did arrive just as we got the baby off to sleep. There were rather a lot of them. They were very excited, and it's a very small stable.
Sorry.
I wouldn't have mentioned it, but they had to explain why they had come, which involved their own rendition of a song of the heavenly host. It's a great pity none of them could actually sing. Still, at least they were better than the next lot who showed up.
The wise men? What possible objection could you have to visitors from the east?
It would have been nice if any of them could have spoken English.
Joseph, you're a first century Middle Eastern Jew. You can't speak English.
All right, Aramaic. All I'm saying is that a little mutual understanding would have helped. I don't think they had the least idea what was happening. Do you know what they brought as presents for the baby?
Well, as I was saying, I really do need a word.
Of course things are going to get worse, aren't they? You have some other visitors up your sleeve, don't you?
No.
Caesar Augustus had another bright idea?
No.
Don't tell me Mary has another little surprise for me.
No.
So what is it then?
Herod wants to kill the baby.
I think I need to sit down again.
It's a bit of a shock, I know.
No, hang on a minute. It's going to be all right. How could I have forgotten? Little Jesus is God's son, right?
That's right.
So obviously God is going to keep him safe.
Well.
So heaven must have a plan. What is it? Are you going to drop in on Herod and get him to change his mind?
Herod doesn't listen to us, I'm afraid.
Okay, then, so perhaps you're going to get an army of angels stationed outside the stable?
No.
I know you're going to spirit us away in the night. In the blink of an eye, we'll be somewhere else, right?
Not exactly.
So come on, then, what is the great plan?
Run like hell for Egypt.
Is that it?
Pretty well, yes.
I definitely need to sit down again.
I can give you some directions if you like.
Oh. Can I have a word, Gabby?
Yes.
I have a small complaint. You've ruined my life.
We have.
I was happy. You know, I thought the faith was about a bit of peace in a busy world, a sense of purpose and meaning in life. I didn't think faith would mean ending up as the father of someone else's baby, 80 miles from home, running for the border, pursued by a psychotic tyrant.
Didn't you?
No. I thought God would keep me safe. Instead, I'm scared, Gabriel. I thought God cared about me. Why has this happened?
Who said faith means being kept safe?
I don't know. I just assumed.
Joseph, that little baby we're asking you to look after, he is going to show people what faith really means. His life is never going to be safe, easy or comfortable. He's going to turn the world upside down and have enemies as well as friends. And he's going to show people that God doesn't sit safe in his heaven, immune from all the suffering down here. God has a human face, and you and Mary are going to hold him in your arms and watch him grow. Your life will never be easy and comfortable, but it will be full of love and touched by the beauty of God himself.
I see. Well, I guess there's only one thing left to ask then, really.
Oh, yes, what's that then?
Which way did you say to Egypt?
Our next hymn is Unto Us a Boy is Born. Please stand to sing if you're able. Reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. When Roger and I worked in the Pacific, I can remember travelling back one year via Hong Kong. Our son, who was round about five at the time, had eyes as big as saucers in one department store. He'd never seen anything any bigger than a corner shop before. And he stood next to me, and he reached up and he tugged at my coat, and he said, "Mum, Mum, look, there's Santa. He's not the real Santa. Santa came to my school and he's black." That kind of insistent tugging that I felt on that occasion is something that you may well have experienced too, either literally or metaphorically. I remember two particular occasions when I felt a tug, like the toddler's insistent dragging on the coattails, and I've known I needed to pay attention to something, something more than the usual flow of the day's business. The first time, I spent a very long time working out what had happened. Eventually, I realised that God had spoken to me in a very profound way. I had met God face to face. I took a bit less time on the second occasion. A little bit less, I suppose. I realised fairly quickly, though, that God was calling me to ministry after several years of ignoring less direct indications. Two occasions when, for me, God has said, "Can I have a word?" So has God ever said, "Can I have a word to you?" God doesn't always speak in the same way. We're not all, and not always, treated to a heavenly choir. Excuse me for saying so. I'm thinking of heavenly creatures rather than heavenly voices that we get here on occasion. God sometimes needs to be in your face when dealing with recalcitrant women, and I guess men as well, of a certain age. But that's not usually the way God speaks. My later experience is that God more often speaks gently, through the people that we have been blessed to share our lives with, those we share our faith life with. Sometimes that's our families, other members of our congregation, newsreaders, journalists, and many others. Sometimes we hear God in Scripture, though I suspect we tend to put our own interpretation on Scripture at least as easily as we listen to God's voice in the words that we read. I'm pretty sure that I've said this here before, but I think it bears repetition. Hearing God takes practice. We need to take time to listen, and we need to practice. I think our drama this morning reminds us that when God speaks, we're not always very good at listening. I think that's mainly because we are not expecting the things that we hear. God's words can be very unexpected, can be surprising even. There's a book called The God of Surprises, and one review that I saw recently suggests it's a dangerous book. The fact that Christian discipleship is dangerous is maybe an unsettling thought. I'm not sure we very often make the leap from unsettled to facing danger. Whether we like it or not, Christianity is subversive. A God who is vulnerable, a God who is a baby, dependent, noisy and dirty. That's not what was expected of a God. I suspect it still isn't what's expected of a God, of the Messiah. That's not the sort of God who is easy to follow. God's vulnerability is something we find it hard to emulate. We want to be good. We want life to be good. We want all our prayers to be answered in just the way we expect, so that life is as it should be, according to us. Well, life is messy. Life offers us as many disappointments as joys. Life with a vulnerable saviour only offers one guarantee. Whatever comes our way, we have a loving, gracious companion who will never leave us, will never wield power over us, but will celebrate with us each and every success that we have in resisting power and making ourselves vulnerable alongside God with us, the baby Jesus, crucified Saviour and constant friend. Amen. Our next hymn is Infant Holy, Infant Lowly.
Thank you.
We bring our prayers of concern for the world to God. Please pray with me. Loving and merciful God, we bring before you all the people who will struggle this Christmas, who will not be able to celebrate a season of joy. We pray for the people of the Holy Land, the families of hostages, the inhabitants of Gaza, conscripts and terrorists, all who fight and all who suffer. May the certainty of warmongers and the pain of the people diminish. Grant peace on earth and peace in Gaza. We pray too for the people of Ukraine. Only you know how their suffering can be brought to an end. Give clear insights to all those in a position to influence the aggressors. Bring compassion into their hearts. Grant peace on earth and peace in Ukraine. For all people living in places of conflict around the world, grant peace in their world, we pray. During this season of joy for many, there will be people who are alone and lonely. We pray for them and for the many organisations which seek to provide warm spaces, good food and companionship. Grant that all those who are alone this Christmas may experience warmth and friendship. We pray for those bereaved, for people whose grief is raw, and for those who continue to mourn a life companion who's died a long time ago. May they be comforted in the knowledge that you will reunite them in your arms. We pray for homeless people in Hinckley and for our Hope into Action project, that the house may soon be ready and that our tenants will be well chosen and comfortable in their new home. Finally, we pray for all those suffering problems with their mental health. We pray that they will find the support they need for their health and for their material needs. In a few moments of silence, we each pray for those things that are on our hearts today. Loving and gracious God, we pray for these things, asking that your will be done, and that where we struggle to understand the answers to our prayers, you'll give us insights and courage to live the lives we choose, and that is pleasing to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Thank you. Loving, gracious God, we give you thanks for all that we have, for all that we enjoy in this season of Christmas. We offer these, our gifts of money, and our lives in your service, and pray that you will use them to bring glory to your name in Hinckley and in the wider world. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. So the joy of Christmas be yours, the love of Christmas be yours, and the hope of Christmas be yours, and the blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Christ and Comforter, be with you and those you love, now and always. Amen.